So let's be praying for our missionaries. Appreciate it again hearing from them. And before we look into the Song of Solomon tonight, let's go ahead and read the first sentence of Proverbs. I hope today, I think today was the first day we started in the book of Proverbs. And so we're taking a break in our reading schedule where we read through chronologically, and we stopped and inserted all the poetry books, as they're called, so that we could get them connected with their authors. David wrote most of the Psalms. Of course, Solomon, who we just covered again in the book of David in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, Solomon in 1 Kings in our reading. And so we stopped and gone and started reading some of the writings of these during the chronological time frame that they would have been written. And so let's go ahead and look at Solomon a little bit. I love the first sentence of this proverb and the first couple proverbs here. And so Proverbs chapter 1, look with me at the first sentence. Count, if you're a verb counter, count the number of verbs in his first sentence, and someone yell when we hit a period. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, dot. I know wisdom and to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, comma, justice, comma, and judgment, comma, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And so that, again, is a tremendous introduction to a book, a tremendous book, again. And I encourage you. When Beverly and I, when we were reading with the kids, we read a proverb a day, and we decide, I decided, someone told me this, and I couldn't stop saying it, is that one proverb has too much scripture in for one day. So it covers the gamut. Everything your kids need to know is found in a Proverbs a day. And so we tremendously enjoyed that book. Song of Solomon I enjoyed, but for different reasons. I think I told you folks here that when I was in Bible school, and had a sweetheart, my high school sweetheart, miles away. I wrote her the whole book of the Song of Solomon. She burned them all, the letters, I think. But
I wondered about that. I heard about that.
We did not seem to keep them somehow. But I wrote out the whole book of the Song of Solomon in letter, by hand, in letter format. And it worked again, so praise the Lord. Here she is still with me today. And so there's some things that we really need to look at in the book of Solomon. And I'm going to try and cover them in 15 minutes. I think I could do that. I could be wrong. So the book of Solomon is a puzzling book because it, again, has stuff in that we don't normally read in public. It's got some intimacy in it. The Song of Solomon several themes. I'm going to just read everything I got written in the margin of my Bible on Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, the supremacy of true love. It's a portrait of God's love for Jerusalem, that's me paying attention to that. So the picture of Christ's love for the bride is probably a more outstanding theme there. The fact that Christ, the bridegroom, and the love for the bride, that's portrayed throughout. I wrote down underneath the Song of Solomon this song line that says, "You're so vain, you probably think this song is about you." Okay, maybe you've heard that before.
Yes.
Who did that?
Carver Stein.
I did not know that. But I remember that line, and I've often thought of that when I'm reading the book of Solomon. So let me go ahead and just read, if I could, the Scofield's introduction, tremendous discourse here on this book that will give you some of the complications of it. C.I. Scofield in 1909 wrote this: "Nowhere in Scripture does the unspiritual mind tread upon ground so mysterious and incomprehensible as in this book. While the saintliest men and women of the ages have found it a source of pure and exquisite delight, that the love of the divine bridegroom should follow all the analogies, the marriage relationship seems evil only to minds so ascetic that marital desire itself seems to them unholy. The interpretation is twofold. Primarily, the book is the expression of pure marital love as ordained of God in creation, and the vindication of that love as against both asceticism." We know what asceticism is. Ascetic.
Aesthetically pleasing to the eye.
Yeah. So it's kind of a hard line look, and asceticism is someone who has a hard set of formal rules and will never break from them. Those that separate themselves and live in a commune or a monk, again, that takes on these ascetic vows that he will partake of nothing worldly. And so asceticism is someone who says, "I'll partake of nothing worldly," and they make up their own list of rules of what is worldly and what is not. So so it is a vindication of that love, marital love, as against both asceticism and lust. And he calls them here the two profanations. And I didn't know what that word meant, so I broke it down into pieces. Profound actions fits best, again, to that definition. Profanations, or the misuse of something that's holy. And so he's saying there that asceticism and lust are the two extremes, again, that point to a misuse of this holy and sanctified relationship in marriage. Of the holiness of marriage. The secondary and larger interpretation is of Christ, the Son, and his heavenly bride, the Church, according to 2 Corinthians 11. In this sense, the book has six divisions. Listen to these divisions, and I've gone through and outlined these myself and don't like some of them, but I can't figure out others. Okay, he said that six divisions are: one, the bride seen in restful communion with the bridegroom, chapter 1 through chapter 2. Number 2, a lapse and restoration, chapter 2, 8 through 3, 5. Number 3, a joy and fellowship, 3, 6 through 5, 1. And then a separation of interest and the bride satisfied while the bridegroom toiling for others, 5, 2 through 5. And then the bride seeking and witnessing in 5, 6 through 6, 3, and then an unbroken communion in chapter 6, 4, all the way to the end of the book. And so, boy, there's been a lot of book. I've got like 3 books on the Song of Solomon. All of them go in like 3 different directions as far as outlining and looking at this book. So it is a well-studied book, and a lot of people still scratching our heads over the purpose of the book. And so I want to just go ahead and give you notes from the margin of my Bible. One of my favorite verses is, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew." And so that ties back to one time Beverly and I forgot what state we're in. I thought it was New Mexico, where we followed... I actually went shopping to the commissary with my wife, and we followed this young couple, and they kept saying, calling each other sweetheart and sugar lips and sugar dumpling, and it went on and on, so much that we were mesmerized by it, you know. And so we followed them all through every aisle in the commissary, and we had three kids at that time, so yeah. So we didn't.
And Matt was a baby.
So. We forgot what all this mushy gushy love talk was about. But here's a book that's filled with it, right? Sweet cakes. My love, my dove. And so get used to that. And then I've got some tips here, marital tips. I got one long section here. I should probably skip this. But in chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. And it talks about the lily among thorns. And I had several of these reminders put in my Bible. Let me just read down through. Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and he wrote most of the New Testament. Fanny Crosby was made blind at 6 weeks old, probably by the misconduct of a doctor. And I just got from Victory Baptist Press, Be Thou Exalted, her book and her life story. If someone wants an e-copy of that, let me know and I can get you that. But a tremendous book. Philip Bliss lost everything he owned in the Chicago fire, sent his family to Europe and lost all of his family, and then wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. Harold Slaughter, a caller once said to him, I just wanted to see a man that God trusted enough to let the devil loose on. Dr. Lee Robertson, again, Pastor Rarick's, went to Lee Robertson's college. Lee Robertson was here at the early days of this church. So Dr. Lee Robertson was getting around to go to Bible college when his daughter suddenly died. And he went to Bible college anyway. David Bolos, in 1992, on deputation, preaching at Central Baptist Church for Pastor Ron Abersol, he spoke of Moses' 40 years, and on my 40th birthday in that Tuesday service, I surrendered to God's call to pastor. David and Debbie Bolus were close friends of ours, and of course, Shane, when he went to Peru, he went under Dave and Debbie Bolus. In 2010, the resurrected from a year of malaria that would have and should have killed him. He spoke right here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church with an unprecedented power of God on his life. And so I don't know if you remember that, but that's something I'll never forget again. So again, that's some of the things about the people serving the Lord with the thorn in the flesh that I pulled out of the margin of my Bible. And now let's do some marriage counseling out of the Song of Solomon. And so, I don't know how to do this. Some of these verses I'm not sure should be read in public. But let's go ahead and look at, if I could have someone that would read chapter 1, verse 10.
Thy cheeks are comely with roses, jewels, thy neck with chains of gold.
And verse 16.
Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant, also our bed is green. Burn hungry.
Okay. And so, yeah, it goes on. Speak to each other romantically. Express it with passion. Tell what you like in intimacy. And that comes up again. Chapter 1 and verse 2. Someone read chapter 1 and verse 2.
There be a girl.
And so the girl's going to read that one.
Which one? 1 and verse 2.
Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine.
The marital advice is kiss often. Kiss goodnight. Kiss goodbye. Never stop kissing your love. Verse 4, someone read.
Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chamber. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine, thou upright lovely.
See, we run on the treadmill together.
Marital advice. Chase her around the house. Ladies, let him catch you. Okay. Chapter 1, verse 7. Someone could read verse 7.
Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?
Never keep secrets, marital advice. Don't keep secrets from each other. There's nothing but harm that comes when we keep secrets from our closest friend, from our partner in marriage. Chapter 2, marital advice from chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 4. I'll read that.
All right.
He brought me to the banqueting house. His banner over me is love. The song says he brought me to the banqueting table, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So. Marital advice, have dinner together. No TV, no phone. Go out to dinner together. Come home for lunch together. And then it's also got a note that says, have more than lunch together. Yeah. Chapter 2 and verse 13. Someone read us verse 13.
The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away.
Okay. Marital advice, get away regularly. Stay in a nice motel. Take walks together. Guard your time together. Go someplace together just because. And verse 14. Someone got verse 14.
Oh, my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is clean.
Marital advice, talk to each other. Listen to each other. Talk about things that attract you to each other, that attracted you to each other. Revisit the past, where you met, the days you courted. Talk about things together. Chapter 2 and verse 15.
Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes.
Your relationship is tender and it's special, so it needs guarded. Never let little things come between you or let little things build up in your marriage and in your life. Watch for impatience. Watch for negative criticism. Watch for unkindness. Be courteous. Chapter 4, 15, 5, 15, and 16, we won't read these. It says, speak romantically, express it with passion. We already covered that in chapter 1 and verse 10 and 16. And tell what you like in intimacy. Talk to each other. Chapter 5, just jump to chapter 5. And verse 13, somebody read me. Verse 13.
Come on, David, read it.
His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lilies dropping sweet smells.
Beverly and I read to read through the whole book of Solomon, where she would read the she parts and I would read the he parts. Mm. And it's very challenging to keep them straight again. So that would be a she part. Marital advice, especially for guys here, ready? Keep good hygiene. That's for both of us. Guys, gals, keep good hygiene. Number one, bath or bathe. I don't know how to spell bathe.
With an E, yeah.
Bathe often. Wash your hands oftener. Clean under your fingernails.
Yeah.
Number two, wash and comb hair. Trim your beard. Number three, brush your teeth. Number four, wash your feet. For our ladies, all I got is pay attention to face and hair. I don't know whether that implies makeup or what. Number six, get dressed in the AM. That's for housewives.
Just some people go out in their panties. Not me, but I've seen them in the stores.
Yeah, it's, yeah, it's right.
I did that.
Take rest. Number seven, look pretty when he comes home. And boy, the importance of that, especially in a society where he works with a bunch of girls at the office or whatnot. Again, he's never seen them with their hair messed up or without makeup. And so we'll look pretty when he comes home from work. 5:16. Someone read us chapter 5 and verse 16.
His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem.
Stay friends as well as lovers. Be the best of friends. Show yourself friendly. And then chapter 8, verses 5 through 7, says, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raise thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. Never let your fire go out in marriage. So there's some good marital advice. I review that periodically. I think I published that list once right after I got here for a Valentine's Day. But again, it's good to be mindful that there's things that we need to do to maintain a marriage in marital love. Also, we've got opportunity to teach that to our children and our children's children as well. And so let's do about the Father's business in that regard. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for a brief look at the Song of Solomon. And thank you again, Father, for the Proverbs of Solomon. Thank you that we could again pursue wisdom. And thank you for our marriages, our homes, and Father, the instruction that's given in your word about true love. And especially, Father, as we would see the love that you have for the church, your bride, I pray again, Father, that we would emulate that in our own lives. And, Father, that we could again just have your blessing as we would read through the Bible in this year. We love you. Thank you for the evening. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.